Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts and meditations and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when your word comes to us and we are filled with your spirit, filled with your love, filled with your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself going against the flow? Have you ever felt very alone in something that you were doing, but you knew that you were right while everyone else was calling you crazy? The author and lecturer Stephen Costello wrote of a time when he went for a jog around the Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis Reservoir in Central Park. I've never been there. Some of you have been to New York more often than I may have an acquaintance with that, but if you know it, he tells us, you know that every man, woman, and child who goes around that reservoir, whether they walk or jog or run, goes counterclockwise. And one day he went for a jog and he started his route when he was flagged down by a person wearing a New York City yellow park vest. And he was told that a large maple tree had come down across the path and that he had to turn around and go the other way, which he did. This was the New York City authority, and he turned around and ran the other way. But it wasn't long before he started running into other joggers and walkers. He said there was an old woman who let out a gasp. He said there were people with earphones in their ears who were making unfriendly faces at him and giving him rude hand gestures. And finally, one fellow actually stopped him and pulled him aside and explained to him about the history of the reservoir, the park, and the direction he should be going. And he said, well, you know, if that were my dad would have punched him in the face and thrown him in the reservoir. But I said to him that a New York City Parks Authority had stopped me and told me that a large maple tree had come across the path, and unless he also wanted to go that way and jump over a 70-foot maple tree, he also had to turn around and run in the other direction. Well, it was a little sheepish, and he said he was sorry, which isn't like a New Yorker at all. Have you ever had that experience of going in a different direction and receiving gasps and angry looks and gestures, and perhaps someone will even pull you aside and give you a stern talking to? Sometimes these days, going to church feels like that. It's a rarer thing. Not that long ago, within my lifetime, it was assumed you would go to church on Sunday, or you should be going if you weren't. But now, people may give you gasps, or angry looks, or some may even pull you aside and tell you about the history of atrocities of the church and how narrow and judgmental it is and why you shouldn't be going there. To go to church these days, you almost have to justify yourself. I had a woman actually recently in conversation. She said she felt sorry for me and what I did. She used to go to church, but not this one. But she was no longer going there, and most of her friends had stopped going. She happened to go back for a certain service, and she couldn't believe how empty that place was. So she said she felt sorry for me and what I had to do. I said, no, I feel great about what I do. I said, I have the best news in the world to share. And I said, I'm not worried about the church either. You know, the truth remains the truth. Eventually, people will find their way back, even as that truth finds its way to them. And she responded, your truth. I said, oh, no. I said, if this is only my truth, I don't want it. If it's not the truth for everyone, then I want to know what that truth is. If you have a better truth for me, I need to know it, because that's what I want to do and serve. I'm not a person for half measures or half truths. I want to know that I'm doing with my life something that is important, something that is true. You know, it is good if you are going alone, if you are moving against the flow of the crowd, and someone pulls you aside and begins to lecture you, it's good to listen, because none of us are all-knowing. All of us can learn. So it is good to listen and engage, like the story of the fellow, and you've heard this one before. He was on his way up north, and his wife heard on the radio that someone was in the wrong lanes on the 400. They were going north in the southbound lanes. And she was worried about her husband because she knew that's where he was, and she called him on the cell phone. He said, darling, be careful. There is someone going the wrong way on the 400. And he, in a panicked voice, said, it's not just one person, it's everyone. Sometimes you need to listen. But sometimes when you're going alone, you are wrong. But you can test these things. You think you're on the right road just because, don't think you're on the right road just because it's a well-beaten path by the famous Anonymous. If you're off the well-beaten path, if you're on the road less traveled by, you can test whether it is a true road. Does it give joy? Does it give life? Does it give hope? Does it open the future? Does it create peace? You can test these things. By the time we come to the third chapter in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been very busy. He broke into the scene on the Sea of Galilee and called disciples, and then he went and he healed a man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue, cast out a demon. Then he went and healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then a whole host of people gathered outside of Peter's house and wanted to be healed and touched by him. He went on from there, and he actually reached out and touched a leper and healed him. Then he healed a man who was paralyzed, who had been lowered through a ceiling. And not only did he heal him, but he forgave his sins, which was something that only God could do. Then he went on to heal a man with a withered hand on a Sabbath day. and all the time incurring the opposition from those who would clamp down on life, clamp down on healing, clamp down on joy and love. And he brazenly challenged them. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Is it right to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm? And he got a reputation, and more people began to come to hear this rabbi who was going a different way. He was creating a new path, touching lepers, speaking to women, welcoming children, forgiving sins. And they gathered around him in crowds. It's no wonder his family was a little worried about him. 50 years ago yesterday, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. I wonder if when Bobby chose to run for president that year, his family went after him and tried to stop him. They knew what had happened to his brother John. Earlier that year, Martin Luther King had been assassinated. You wonder if his family, his sisters and brothers said, "Bobby, don't do it. This family has given enough." I can understand why Jesus' mother, you know, she was there at his birth. She knew the story, and yet he was still her son. While she pondered the things in her heart on that Christmas morning, she also loved her son. Like any mother, I'm sure, was frightened for him. She had reason to not want him to go this different way. And of course, the scribes and Pharisees also had their own reasons to declare him as someone with an unclean spirit, demon-possessed. Beelzebul, they called him. Don't mistake that. Beelzebub is the Latin version, and that means Lord of the Flies. Beelzebul, which is here, actually means Lord of the House. And if you understand that, he's the chief of demons, the house of demons, if you like. And Jesus makes a little play on that name by saying, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Of course, he was quoted by Abraham Lincoln, and that verse, for Lincoln too, understood he had to go a different way. And so Jesus is accused by the scribes and Pharisees, the religious authorities whose power was threatened by him. And he responds saying, "You know, you accuse me of being possessed by Satan, but would Satan destroy Satan?" Let me tell you what's going on here. Satan, in so many ways, rules this world, but now Satan is being bound. And I am plundering that house of the Lord of the House. And I am stealing from him the property that he had claimed. I am stealing from him God's beloved children that he had enlisted in ways of death. And I am restoring them to ways of life. It is a costly way, this way of life. It threatens all the powers that be, not only of Satan, but all those earthly powers that seek to control things out of their fear. But it calls us into new and risen life. This day, we are all called to be individuals. In fact, To be to conform to the present day is to be a nonconformist. I did a little internet search to find out what it is like to go your own way, and I found out pretty much every entrepreneurial guru was advising this, and this is their advice: go left when everyone else goes right. Another article said, zig more when everybody else is zagging. Now, that must be an art. They also say your life is too valuable to live like everyone else. That can be true, but it shouldn't be your only purpose. Focus on your dream, not on the obstacles. That's good advice. But none of these advisors say anything about loving your neighbor. None of these advisors say anything about serving your community or caring for your environment. It's all about being your own person. Well, Jesus comes to tell us that we become our own persons in love. You don't have to work to be unique. You are already unique. You were born an individual, a beloved child of God with your own gifts and your own purpose. It isn't something you have to create. It's your gift. Your gift to bring into the service and joy of love. Bobby Kennedy entered the political race because of his faith. His family advised him against it, but of all his brothers, he was really a Roman Catholic. He really believed in the love of God in Jesus Christ, and it was that love which called him to service. He joined with these words. He gave this speech on the Vietnam War. He's actually quoting George Bernard Shaw here, but it's identified with Bobby. There are those who look at things the way they are and ask why I dream of things that never were, and ask why not. Jesus Christ calls us beyond the way things are on the path of why not? Why not love? Why not reconciliation? Why not hope? Why not eternal life? And Bobby joined another Christian that year, 50 years ago, in that sacrificial gift of service. We today welcome two more who follow in their path. Let us go that different road. And as for that unforgivable sin, well, you know, I was at Whitby Psychiatric Hospital for a summer, and practically every person there would come up to we student chaplains who were trying really hard to do the unforgivable sin. And they would ask us, what is the unforgivable sin? And I would answer, well, I believe the unforgivable sin is to believe that no sin can be forgiven. I like the way this puts it. Nothing is written in stone. That's true in a way. That stone will wear and disappear. I believe and I hope that our resistance to God's love will wear and disappear. The truth remains the truth. And it is a wonderful way to go. Let us pray. O gracious God, bless us this day as we seek to follow your path to the fullness of life, to loving our neighbor, to caring for this creation, and to living in your gift of life now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.